All right. Job chapter number 38. Job chapter 38. We are looking at the tail end of the dialogue section of the book of Job. And at the very last section of this dialogue, we heard from, just a quick review, we heard from Job. Then we heard from his three friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, Zophar, and in each case, Job refuted them. And then we heard from Job's final defense. And then we heard the Lord's dialogue. And this is where we're at now, is God's answers, his real reply to Job. And let's begin with, look at Job chapter 31. Just a quick review. Job 31, verse 35. Job 31, verse 35. In Job's defense, he wanted the Lord to answer, you know, for what's going on with Job's situation. Job 31, 35 says, "Oh, that one would hear me. Behold, my desire is that the Almighty would answer me, and that mine adversary had written a book." So I'm going through all these trials and sufferings, and I'd like to know why. I'd like to have an answer. And the only one who could really answer me is the Almighty God. Only God knows why. And so the Lord answers Job in chapter 38, 39, 40, and 41. And Job will then respond, but his response will not be much. Okay? So let's just say this. The testimony of Job, as far as the exterior, is impeccable, blameless. So sa chapters 1 and 2, inulit ng Diyos yung character of Job. Again, we were confronted with the character of Job. He is a perfect man. He is blameless. He is upright. He feared God. And he eschewed evil. So yung sa panlabas na testimony ni Job, blameless. Just a good man. And he is a good man. However, in the middle of his testings and trials, he begins to wonder about the Lord. And why did God allow these things to happen to him? So there's a measure of unbelief in Job and a measure of questioning God. And, you know, when a person is hurting and suffering, they don't always think right. They don't always say the right things. And we can expect that. We can expect that as natural, fleshly, carnal men. Sometimes we look at God and we wonder, what is the Lord doing? Does the Lord knows? Does he know me? Does he know my situation? Why did this happen? And so it's natural to ask why, when really we should be asking, why not sooner? why now? You know, I don't deserve the kindness of God. I don't deserve the grace of God. But certainly this is happening. And so Job, in the middle of his suffering, he had some problems in his character towards the Lord. And God, in chapter 38, 39, 40, and 41, replies to Job, answers Job in a very gracious and firm manner. So yes, this is the mercy of God that he responds to Job. But the Lord doesn't just reply to just answer. The Lord is trying to humble Job and to get Job to think biblically and to restore Job. Okay? So the Lord here, his main goal is to restore Job. And the Lord will be successful in this because Job will reply in faith. And so we'll see all that when we get to Job's answers. Again, Job answers the Lord twice, and in both situations, they're very short. All right? So tonight, we will look at God's first answer, his questions. And again, we counted this. We found 84 questions. So we will look at a few of these questions here. And we'll see the greatness of God in all this. So let's look at Job chapter 38 and verse number 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkeneth counsels by words without knowledge?" So we read the book of Job. We got into the dialogues. We heard the dialogue of Job, Eliphaz, Bildad, Zophar, Elihu. And none of them spoke with knowledge. All of them had words without knowledge. And so when we speak things that we have no idea about, the tendency here is to darken the counsels of the Lord. So be careful speaking things that are not biblical, that we don't know for sure. It's okay to say, "I don't remember." It's okay to say, "I don't know." It's okay to say, "I'm not sure." It's okay to say, "Let me get back with you. Let me verify. Let me study. Let me examine." It's okay to say, "I made a mistake. I was wrong. Please forgive me." But to speak words without knowledge, we have a potential of darkening the counsels of God. So, ano yung counsels of God? God has a plan and a purpose for all of us. And when we don't respond in faith, we darken His counsels. So, nagiging malabo, nagiging madilim ang plano ng Diyos kapag hindi tayo nagre-respond in faith. And so this is where Job is. He's darkening the counsel by words without knowledge. So his friends, so everybody else that was there, including Elihu, as good a man as he was, he didn't always speak the right things, neither. So verse 3, "Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee and answer thou me." Now the Lord will begin to ask Job some questions. And let's see, Job. Let's see, maybe you can help the Lord find out his counsel. Maybe you can enlighten the Lord, okay? Maybe God needs help. So let's see, Job. Question number one, look at verse number 4, and then we'll read this, and then we'll pray and ask the Lord to bless. In chapter 38, verse 4, "Where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the scriptures. We thank you, Lord, for the dialogue section we get to be in tonight, where we hear from the Lord, Jehovah God, the creator of the universe. And we stop and consider his greatness, his majesty, and his power. And Lord, when we think about that, Lord, we think that we can certainly trust him who created us, Lord. And I pray that this is the underlining lesson that we learn from tonight in our time in the Word of God. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, Job, let me ask you question number 1. Where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? So, where was Job when God created the world, when God created the universe, when God created everything? Were you there, Job? Did you kind of assisted me in telling me how I'm going to form the earth, how I'm going to split the firmaments, how am I going to hang the earth on nothing? Were you there, Job? Could you help me? Unang question pa lang. Wala nang masabi si Job. There's no, I don't think anybody could counsel God. So, right off the bat, God is to be acknowledged as our creator. God, remember this, he is our creator. And so if He created us, then He has a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us. And we're to trust in His plan. And more than trusting in His plan, we're to trust in the God of the plan. He is the Creator. So He lovingly and firmly corrects Job in all this. Where was thou? So God did not need Job. God does not need you. God does not need me. He didn't need us in the work of creation. Man is inadequate to tell God how to manage His works. So we don't tell the Lord how we like things to be. He created everything. He said here in verse number 4, "Where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth?" The foundations of the earth. So when God made the earth, man wasn't there. And truthfully, man is completely ignorant concerning creation. And if we are ignorant about creation, how much more ignorant are we about His counsels? You see? So in all this, the Lord is showing us that He has a plan and a purpose. Verse number, let's see here, verse number 5. "Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line upon it?" So this is cartology. You know how to make a map. You look at a land. You look at how big it is. You scale it down. Then you draw lines and you say, okay, this is how many square meters. This is how many square foot. And this is how big the land is. And this is how the topography of the land is. And these are the borders, etc. So did God consult with any man about when He created the earth, how the earth should look, what it should be like? No, He didn't ask anybody anything. The earth, in all its dimensions and all its circumference, the whole measurement of the earth, God knew it. And God did not consult with any man. He didn't ask for our opinion. He just made it by the word of His power. Okay, so now we have this here. God is our Creator. Now, does the world, does our society teach that God is Creator? No. What does our society teach? Huh?
Evolution.
Evolution. Pansinin niyo yung tinuturo sa atin sa eskwela. Even in the young elementary years, high school years, college years, graduate school, we are a product of an evolutionary process, of millions of years of evolutionary process. And so that's the theory of society today. This is an antichrist, anti-God theory. Now, does the Bible teach that we evolved over millions of years? No, it doesn't. Okay? The Bible teaches that God created all things out of nothing by the word of His power in 6 literal consecutive days. And when God was finished with all His creation, it was pronounced as good. Okay? That's the testimony of Scripture. But now, today, we live in a day and age where people are saying, no, we are a product of evolution. So the Big Bang happened some billions and billions of years ago. Some explosion happened, and out of that explosion came order and life. Now, do you know the mathematical statistic of order coming from chaos? Okay? Mathematically speaking, it's nil. N-I-L. It's impossible.
Right.
Now, maybe your room is clean and organized and nice. But if I were to throw a stick of dynamite in your room, maybe it'll blow up and it'll look like Joe's room. I'm kidding. No, it's not. No, it's not. I'm just kidding. Maybe if I throw a stick of dynamite and it exploded, what do you expect from an explosion? Would you expect order, structure, design? Or would you expect destruction, chaos, and ruination? Well, that's what we have with the evolutionary theory. So they're inadequate. It doesn't answer everything. Now, the scriptures, on the other hand, we have the Lord who says, "Where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth?" So we have a creator. We have a God who laid out the foundations of the earth, and he laid the measure thereof. He knows the measurement of it. He stretched the line upon it. Verse 6, "Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened?" Where do I lay down earth, the foundation of earth? Where do I put it? Job, can you tell me where I should put it? And Job is basically saying, I have no clue. "Or who hath laid the cornerstone thereof?" So if you're going to build a building, you always start with laying down a foundation, a solid foundation, and you have a cornerstone where you can have walls meet together so that it builds a structure and you can build on that. So what about the earth? What's the cornerstone of the earth? Verse number 7. "When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." Verse 7 is talking about the angels. Notice it says morning stars. So they're illuminated beings. One of the highest angels in the Bible, the anointed cherub, his name was Lucifer. He was a light bearer, a star. And the Bible calls them morning stars sang together. So early in the creation week, God created the angels. Now, the angels, innumerable. We don't have a number. We just know there are myriads and myriads of angels. And God made every one of them all at the same time. He spoke them all into existence. And it says here, the sons of God shouted for joy. So it's a Hebrew parallelism. Morning stars equal sons of God. Sang together, shouted for joy. It's the parallel, see? So do angels sing?
Yes.
Well, yeah, they sang for joy. They sang together right here. They shout when they shouted for joy. You see the Hebrew parallelism here. And so we have these things. Verse 8, "Or who shut up the sea with the doors when it break forth as if it had issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud," so there's the sea, Job. How about the sea? Do you tell the sea, the ocean, where it stops? Huh? Nakapag-visit na ba kayo ng beach? Isn't it a beautiful sight to see a beautiful beach, and the water wants to come and rushes in, but it can only stay so far? Why doesn't the whole earth, you know, there are more water on earth than earth? Okay, so I know, ilang percentage, how many percentage of water is in earth? I think it's 70. 70 some odd percent. 70% is made of water. But hindi kinakain ng tubig yung lupa. Because God said, "I'm putting a border." Now, Job, can you do that? Can anybody of us do that? No. Verse number 9, "When I made the cloud, the garment thereof, and the thick darkness of swaddling band for it." Okay, so now let me take it to the clouds. Can you Can you create the clouds, Job? Can you control it? Can you turn it into darkness? No. Verse 10, and break up for it my decree place and set bars and doors. So there's a limit to all this. Verse 11, and said, hitherto shalt thou come, but no further. And here shall thy proud waves be stayed. Okay, so ocean, this is as far as you go. This is where you're staying. Can anybody do any of that? Nobody can. So God created boundaries and everything. He created all this. So now, so first thing I want you to acknowledge is God is creator. We are not the product of evolution, and we are a product of God's creation. Okay, so we believe in creation. We do not believe the scientists that teach Antichrist thinking, Antichrist theory of evolution. Okay? So if you have a problem with Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, if you have a problem with that, you probably have a problem with everything else in the scriptures.
Right.
Okay, so let's get that there. Now, notice in verse number 6, where upon are the foundations thereof fastened? Meaning to say, where did God place the earth? Well, look at Job chapter 26, verse 7. And again, the book of Job predates Moses. Remember that. Job was written around the time of Abraham. Maybe Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, maybe around the patriarchal times. And so the first book of the Bible is not Genesis. It's Job. Job was there before Moses. Now, Moses wrote about creation. But Moses was informed by Job, by the book of Job. And so when you read the book of Moses, the five books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, if you want to understand his terms, you have to read the book of Job. And so Job chapter 26, verse 7. Job 26, verse 7. He stretcheth out the north over the empty place and hangeth the earth upon nothing. The whole earth is hanging on nothing. Now, Job, can you explain how God hanged the earth on nothing? Of course, Job couldn't do that. Neither could I. Neither could any of us. The point is, the earth is fixed. It hangs on nothing, and it's stable. It's fixed. Go to Psalm 93, verse 1. Psalm 93, verse 1. Psalm 93, 1. The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength. And when wherewith he girded himself, the world also is established, that it cannot be moved. So wherever the Lord fixed the earth, it hangs on nothing, and it's not going to move. If we're not moving, why do we call it a planet? The word planet means moving object in space. So when you read Psalm 93:1 and Job 26:7, is the earth hanging on nothing? Yes. Are we established and moving? Will we be moved? No, we will not be moved. Yes, we are established. Furthermore, the Bible calls us a footstool of God. Look at Isaiah 66, verse 1. Isaiah 66, verse 1. I'm trying to show you biblical cosmology. Okay? And this is biblical cosmology. Where do we learn about creation? From the Bible. Where do we learn about the earth? From the Bible. Okay? So you have a choice. You can believe the scientist who says that we evolved, that we're a planet, that we're one among many planets, that we're, there's nothing special about the earth. It's not the center of the will of God. There's nothing there. We're just like anything else. Or you can get your doctrine, your teaching, your philosophy from the scriptures and say, no, wait a minute. No, the Bible says God hangs the earth on nothing. We are established and we will not be moved. Well, what about billions of years ago? Well, you have a choice. Einstein, who is an unsaved Jewish man, or Moses, or Job. So whose record do you believe? Okay, that's a question. Look at Isaiah 66, verse number 1. Isaiah 66, verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Now, have you ever seen a moving footstool? No. Say, when you get your toenails done, you know, you go to a lady over there in the mall who does your toenails. And she puts your feet on a footstool. Does the footstool move? Moves around? No. The foot is on a footstool that doesn't move. So she can focus on your toe jam. I'm kidding. No. Focus on your feet. Go over to Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3. Hebrews 1 3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. You understand? Why are all things consisting? Why are all things being upheld? We are upheld by the word of his power. It's because God said it. That's what he said. He said, let there be light. There was light. He said, let there be this. There was that. And so on and so forth. The whole creation account. It's by the word of his power. All things held by the word of his power. He created all things out of nothing. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Just a little biblical cosmology. Hebrews 11, 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. The things that you see did not come from other things that appeared.
Right.
It came out of nothing. There was only God at the beginning. All right? Wala pang langit, wala pang lupa, wala pang wala ang lahat, nandiyan na ang Diyos. God's already there. Okay? God preceded everything. There was nothing except God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And so that's the beginning of everything. When God said, let there be light, then there was light. So on and so forth. Go over to Psalm 19, verse 6. Psalm 19, verse 6. Psalm 19, verse 6. Now, this is speaking about the sun. Look at Psalm 19, verse 1. Let's let's look at verse 1 real quick. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. So this is David's cosmology. The heavens, plural, declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. So when he says heavens, he's referring to the sky. That's the cloud. That's where the birds fly. That's what you see when you look outside, and it's a beautiful blue sky. Beautiful sky. That's the first heaven. The second heaven, plural, heavens, that's the firmament up beyond the sky. That's where the sun and the moon and the stars are at. That's what we would say outer space. Okay? That's the second heaven. Well, David says the heavens declare the glory of God. You know what? You know what the heavens are saying? There is a creator who made everything, who ordered everything, who made it possible to divide the first firmament from the second firmament. This was a work of God. Verse 2, day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. So really, if you really want to know if God is real, all you have to do is look out the window. Look up in the sky. How did that happen? Who made that? Who created all that? It testifies. All of this testifies. I have a creator. Every cloud, every bird, everything you see in the sky, I have a creator. When you go beyond and you see the stars, all of them are saying, we have a creator. The sun, and don't look at the sun, you'll get blind. But the sun tells us, I have a creator. The moon says, I have a creator. Verse 3, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. You don't have to speak English or Hebrew. Whatever language you speak, it's saying, I have a creator. Verse 4, their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words unto the end of the world, their testimony. Everybody sees it. In them he had set a tabernacle for the sun. So here, there's a place, a temporary dwelling place for the sun. Verse 5, which is as a bridegroom. So here's a metaphor. The sun is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. Who's moving? Earth or sun? Oh no, evolution. The earth is revolving around the sun. Just like all the other planets in our solar system. Not when you read the Bible. The earth is fixed. It hangs on nothing. It is the footstool of God. It is the center of God's will. When Jesus comes back to rule and reign, where is he going to establish his kingdom? In a planet? In Jupiter? Mars? Is he going to start it in the sun? No, he's going to. When Jesus died on the cross, he died on earth. When he was buried in earth. When he comes back, he's coming back to earth. Why? Because this is the focus of God. What, the very first thing that God created was earth. We'll get there. Let's take a look at this metaphor in verse 5. Verse 6, his going forth. Who's going forth? The sun. The sun's movement, or the sun's going forth, is from the end of the heaven and his circuit. Ano yung ibig sabihin ng circuit? What does circuit mean? That's the movement in a circuit. May course ang sun. Ah, kala ko kasi yung earth ang may course. Yan kasi, yan ang turo ng mga unbelievers. They reject the Bible. And the question is, I'm here to ask, are you going to receive the testimony of unsaved science, evolutionary antichrist scientists, or will you receive the testimony of David, of Job, of Moses? Go over to Job chapter 22. Job chapter 22. Job chapter 22, verse 14. Job 22, verse 14. Thick clouds are a covering to him that seeth not, and he walketh in the circuit of heaven. So who's got the circuit? Heaven, not earth. Everything in heaven, it has a course and a circuit. The only thing that doesn't have one is earth. Look at Judges chapter 5. Now we go to the book of Judges. Chapter 5. Verse number 20. Judges chapter 5 verse 20. Judges 5:20. They fought from heaven. The stars in their courses fought against Sisera. The stars in their courses. Anong ibig sabihin ng courses? Ha? Nag-track and field na ba kayo? Marunong kayo mag-track and field? Hmm? Lahat ng nagta-track and field, meron silang course. Ha? Marunong kayo mag... Ano yun? Yung... Pass the baton? Ano yung tawag natin doon? Nung klaseng race yun?
Relay.
Oh, yung relay, may course yan. Ha? Hindi ka pwedeng pumunta sa course ng hindi sa'yo. Ipapasa mo yung baton sa kaaway. The stars have a course. The sun has a circuit. Who doesn't have a course and a circuit? The earth. So, this is another important truth. We believe the Bible's record of geocentricity. We reject the antichrist evolutionary scientist that teaches heliocentricity. Now, you say, Brother Bill, is that something that's important, significant in the Bible? Yes. Yes, it is. Because you either believe the Bible or you don't have any. Everything else is up for grabs. So if we didn't evolve in millions and millions of years, then we have a creator. And if we have a creator, then we have somebody in authority who has the right and the knowledge to inform us and counsel us and instruct us. We are accountable to our Creator, you see. All things consist because of Jesus Christ. He's the reason why. Colossians 1:17 communicates that. Now, go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God... Verse 1, created the heaven and the earth. So yung word heaven, so verse number 1, sa Hebrew, may pagka-plurality siya. Actually, it's a duality. Hindi plurality, duality. Sa Hebrew, may singular, may dual, at may plural. So, Hebrew lang yon. Walang ganun sa Greek, walang ganun sa English, walang ganun sa Tagalog. Sa English, if it's not singular, it is automatically plural. Two or more. But in Hebrew, there is singular, then there is dual, two only. And there is plural. Two or more. Actually, three or more. So that would be Hebrew, in the Hebrew language. Well, the word heaven in verse number one suggests two heavens. And Kaya lang singular siya kasi physical heaven ang pinag-uusapan dito. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's the physical heaven. Eh, yung physical heaven, divided yan sa dalawa. There are two physical heavens. Did you know that? There's the firmament of the sky. That's called heaven. That's heaven one. Then there's the outer space. We call it outer space, for lack of better words. The Bible calls it the firmament above. The Bible calls it the expanse or the firmament above. Dun yung mga stars and moon and sun. So, heaven and earth. Verse number 2. And the earth was without form and void. So, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So, yung earth nandun na, kumilos yung Holy Spirit of God, at nakita ng Holy Spirit. By the way, yung earth ba nagmumove? No. Who was moving in verse number 2? Who's moving? Earth or the Spirit of God? It's the Spirit of God. So even in verse 2, the earth is fixed. It's not moving. There's no sun yet, by the way. This is just pure dark water sphere. This is a sphere of water. And it's called earth. Verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good, and God divided the light from darkness. So that's the first day. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So anong nauna, darkness or light? Darkness muna. Kaya yung mga Hudyo, nagsisimula yung araw nila sa gabi, kasi sang-ayon sa kasulatan ni Moses. Did you know that? In Jewish calendar, in Jewish time, the day begins at 6 p.m. Yun yung... Alright, so if today is Wednesday, Thursday na tayo. We're already in Thursday since 6 p.m. and Wednesday, today, tonight. We've entered into Thursday already. At ganun sila. They start from 6 p.m. to 6 p.m. to 6 p.m. And this is because it begins, the darkness was there before the light, and then when God created the light, he called the light day, and he called the night. So this is, we assume this to be 24 hours. Jesus said, are there not 12 hours in the day? So there's 12 hours in the day, there's 12 hours in the night, that's 24. That's a 24-hour day. This was before the sun was created. Was the earth there before the sun? Yeah. Was light there before the sun? Yes. The sun doesn't come till the fourth day. This is just day one. So, we should not get our cosmology from Einstein or from the secular world. We get it from the Bible. And we see all this here. All right? Verse number 6. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And so God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And so, may sky, tapos merong outer space. Anong nauna? Earth or sky? Earth muna. Earth or light? Earth muna. I want you to see that God focus on the earth. Why would God create things for any other body? He created everything for earth. Everything was made in earth, and then he created everything for earth. So the center of God's creation, the center of his, the jewel, the apple of his eye, is the earth. And from that, everything else was made. And He orders everything. So, in God's creation, God has a plan for earth. Is that right? Okay, so let me ask you a question. Job, where were you when I created everything? I wasn't there. How did I hang this? I don't know. How can you explain the ocean? Nope. Can you explain the clouds? Nope. So if I have a plan for creation, do you think I have a plan for you? And by the way, if I have a plan for you, do you think I have a plan for your wife? Do I have a plan for your children? Did I have a plan for your friends? Yeah. And you know what? You know what else is interesting? I have a plan for William. I have a plan for Joe. I have a plan for Marcia. I have a plan for Bill. I have a plan for each and every one of you. I have a plan for every one of you. And all in everything that I plan for you, it'll all work out for good.
Right.
Can you trust God? The God who created everything? The God who didn't ask us for our advice on how to make the world out of nothing by the word of His power in 6 normal consecutive days. So God created each and every one of the angels. When did God create the angels? Well, verse number 1, in the beginning God created the heaven. Now that word heaven is plural, talking about the sky and the firmament. But somewhere between day 1 and day 7, God created a special group of beings called angels. So not only did God create sky and God created outer space, God also created the throne of God, the third heaven. And in the third heaven, that's the dwelling place of God. That's where all the angels are. That's where they are, in the throne, around the throne of God. Go back to Job 38. Job 38. And verse 7. Sabi dito, when the morning stars sang together. So they're called morning stars. And all the sons of God shouted for joy. So very early in the creation week, God created the angels. He called them morning stars. They're called sons of God as well. Sons of God. And God created them. Go to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. So iba ang pag-create niya sa mga angels, hindi katulad ng tao. Yung tao, create niya si Adam and Eve. Tapos si Adam and Eve, they reproduce children, and their children reproduce children that reproduces children that reproduces children. Not so with the angels. When God said, let there be angels, every single one of those angels were created at once. And they're innumerable. You can't count them. Innumerable. Genesis 6:2. Genesis 6:2. Tingnan mo ang sabi ng Bible. And it repented, 6:2, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, and they were fair, and they took them wives, all of which they choose. So let me ask you a question. Genesis 6:2 says sons of God. What is that referring to? Sons of God. Is it talking about the line of Seth, the line of Adam? No. The sons of God are angels. Now, where did Moses get that idea from? Oh, Job chapter 38, verse 7. The sons of God shouted for joy. So you see, which was written first? Genesis or Job? Job. Kasi Job was written around the time of Abraham. Genesis was written around 1406 BC, around the time of Moses. Inauna pa si Abraham kay Moses. That's why when we read the term sons of God in Genesis 6, the theological background is Job 38 verse 7. So this shows us these are angelic beings. These are not the line of Seth. Look at verse number 4. There were giants in the earth in those days, also after that when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. So the giants, where did the giants in the earth come from? It's the physical union between fallen angels who disobeyed the Lord and the daughters of men, fallen men who disobeyed the Lord too. It's a bunch of rebels getting together, producing a race of rebels. Go to Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. Verse number 6. Job 1:6. Here's another example. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. So the sons of God presented themselves before the Lord. What kind of sons of God are these? Angels. And that's why Satan came along with him. What is Satan? He's also an angel. He's a fallen angel. But he's an angel. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. Chapter 2, verse 1. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. So it's consistent in Scripture. Moses in Genesis 6 was referring to fallen angels, sons of God, because Job, that preceded the book of Moses, informed Moses that the term sons of God refer to angelic beings. So, bakit tinawag sons of God yung mga angels? Kasi nilikha sila ng Diyos. But the mere fact that God created them, they are the sons of God. They are produced by God. Adam is also called the son of God, but he is not an angel. He's a man. Jesus Christ is also called son of God, but he's full man and fully God. You see? So the context tells you if you're referring to angels or man or Christ. So yung context ang magsasabi siya kung ano yung tama. Angels are also called the host of heaven. And I gave you the passages here. You can look that up. And the heavenly host. Angels were created there before the seventh day. And Jesus Christ is the one who created all the angels. Go to Colossians 1:16. Colossians 1:16. Colossians chapter 1 verse 16. Colossians 1:16. The Bible says, "For by him," talking about Christ, "for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible." Well, whether they be, and these are angelic terms here, thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. So sa mga anghel, may mga rangko pala yan. There are ranks of angelic beings. It's a host. So in the military, host, military, there's general, then there's lieutenants, and then there's sergeants, and then there's private. So there's rankings. So in the angelic realm, there are rankings. Who was the highest, most beautiful, most wonderful, anointed cherub, according to the scriptures? It was Lucifer. Who is the chief angel, according to Daniel? the guardian of Israel. No, it's not Gabriel. Michael. Michael. So sa mga bansa pala, may mga angels. Sino kayang tinalaga ng Diyos sa Pilipinas? Ano yung ginagawa ng angel na ng Pinas? Anyway, I'm just saying. Every child, the Bible teaches, has an angel that reports to the Father. Did you know that? Oh yeah. Jacobed has an angel that goes to the Father every day. May mga rangko pala yan. There are cherubims. They do different function from a seraphim. Seraphim, 6 wings. Cherubims, 4 wings. Tapos meron pang mga angelic living creatures. 4 different ones around the throne of God. Tapos may mga angels pa. Na walang pakpak. They've come down to earth to bring a message from God. Who's the messenger angel in the Bible? Gabriel. He gave a message to Daniel. He gave a message to Mary. So, some fascinating things about angels. But the thing about angels is they're all on assignment. So don't be impressed with angels. Don't be impressed with angels. Every angel is on assignment. Ang importante, yung message na dinadala ng angel. Eh, kanino nang galing yung message nila? Kay God. And so, don't be impressed with the... Parang pag pumunta ka sa wedding, hindi ka pumupunta sa wedding para pansinin yung brides, ano, yung mga bridesmaid. Nobody goes to the wedding to look at the bridesmaid. Everybody goes to the wedding to see the bride and the groom. You don't go to the wedding to see the sidekick, the best man. That's not, you don't go to a wedding to look at the minister, the officiating guy. You don't go to the wedding to see the father of the bride, the mother of the groom. You go to the wedding to focus on the bride and the groom. When you go to a wedding, the most sacred time is when the bride comes forth. All the attention goes to the bride. Nobody looks around. Everybody's looking there. You're the one looking there. Oh, look at the photographer. Look at the photographer. Well, that's what I think about when I think of angels. We should be looking to God, not the angels, you see. So, Job darkened the counsels of God with words without knowledge. He needed to trust in God as creator. And this is the first part of God's questions for Job. So, let's learn to trust in our creator. Let's learn to trust the Lord. And focus on him, not on his creations, okay? Especially the angels. So yung ibang tao, pag namatay, yan, diba? Yung namatay si nanay, sasabi nila, Nay, nakuha mo na yung pakpak mo. Lumipad ka na. Yan ang pakpak. Ano mo, saan mo nakuha yung pakpak? Where is it? I'm sorry, I'm just saying. We live in a crazy antichrist world that twists and pervert the word of God. And it's high time that we trust in God our creator and we put everything in perspective and follow the word of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the scriptures. We thank you for the testimony of the word of God. We certainly see how you humbled Job. Just in the first few questions, Lord, we are so far away from your will. We don't even understand how you created all things. And Lord, I just thank you that we can trust in you, that if you have a plan and a purpose of creation, then you have a plan and a purpose of for all creatures. And Lord, I pray we find the will of God in our lives and how it fits in all of this, Lord. We can just trust in you. We love you, Lord. Ask your blessing upon us now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.